We've been looking at God's plan to grow the church His way. And we have covered a multitude of topics. Tonight we're down to 2G. We've been talking in step 2 is exalting Jesus. And we've been talking about different things about Jesus that we need to exalt. We've talked about His deity. We've talked about His sacrifice. We talked about exalting His church and exalting His doctrine. And we've talked about exalting His return. And tonight, we want to conclude the final of the things regarding the things about Jesus that we need to exalt is we need to exalt Jesus' love. Certainly, His love for us, but also His love in us going out toward others. And so we want to look at those things. There are certainly many things about Jesus that must be exalted. So let's conclude with His love. Scripture that we wanted to start with tonight is Romans chapter 8. And this just tells us the power of His love. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what's going to separate us from the love of Christ? What's going to separate us from the love of God in Christ? Nothing. The only thing that could possibly happen would be for us to leave His love, for us to reject it, and even then, He would still love us all the way to the end until He could love us no more, and we would be cast away from Him in eternity. But as long as we live, He's going to love us. As long as we are here, and even through our death, He will love us. And it's odd to say, but even those to whom He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, He'll still love them, in spite of the fact that He will not be able to allow them to be with Him because of their rebellion and rejection of Him. But we must exalt Jesus' love for 6 reasons that we want to look at tonight. And certainly, there are probably other things, other reasonings that we could bring up, but we want to just mention these 6. First of all, because it saves us. It was His love. We talk a lot about, for God so loved the world that He sent His Son, but what about the love of Christ to come and die? That love also we can't ignore. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, Paul there says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You know, we talk sometimes about how Christ redeemed us by His death, how He sacrificed Himself for us. And sometimes we say, well, He redeemed us from Satan or from sin or those kinds of things. But in actuality, He redeemed us. He bought us back. He saved us from the wrath of God. God's wrath was going to have to be poured out on each and every one of us because of our rebellion toward Him, because of our sin against Him. And Christ saved us from that. And His love and His willingness to sacrifice Himself in love was the thing that caused that to be possible. So because it saves us is one reason we need to exalt Christ's love. And we need to exalt that to the world out there around us, all over the place. Because some folks think they can save themselves. Some folks think they don't need saving. But the fact of the matter is, everyone out there needs the love of Christ in order to be saved. That's certainly not alone, but that is one of the keys that we look at tonight. Everyone needs it is another reason. Even if we have already been saved by the love of Christ, we still continue to need it. It's not something we say, well, got that, don't need that anymore. No, we still continue to have a need for that. And we need to have that love in our lives. Not only receive that love from Him, but then allow it to imbue our being so that it squeezes out whenever we're pressured or pressed, whenever difficult things come. You know, without fail, they talk about a cup, and if you whatever's in your cup and you get bumped into by somebody, and it's going to spill whatever's in that cup. And the same is true with us. When we get pressed, when we get squeezed, what's inside of us is going to come up. And I don't mean physically we get squeezed and smushed and the blood and bones come out or something like that. We're talking about what's in our inner being. When we face turmoil and strife, when we have difficult times, what comes out? What comes out of our mouth? What comes out of our eyes as we look at others? Are we beaming daggers of hatred and anger at people? Or do they see the love of Christ coming out of us? Just like when you squeeze a piece of fruit, the juice of whatever kind of fruit that is what comes out of there. The same is true of us when we're squeezed, when we're pressured. And so everyone needs the love of Christ, both from Him, and then we all need it to be in us, sharing it with others, spreading it out. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the tongue of men and angels, but I don't have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all the knowledge, and I have all faith so to remove mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away all that I am, all that I have, and I deliver my body to be burned, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. And then he goes on in verse 4 to start talking about love. And he goes on through verse 8 talking about the characteristics of love. And when we think about what he says about love there, we think that's Christ. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy or boast and so on. All of those things, that's Christ. And if Christ is living in us and His love is in us, then that's what's going to come out of us during not just the good times when everything's going okay, but what's going to come out during the difficult times. During the times when we're sick and don't feel well, during the times when we've been pressured by all of the surmounting mountain of things that we have said we have to do or that others have put upon us to have to do, and we're getting behind schedule and we've got to get it done, and how are we going to react? What's going to come out of us is only what's in us. And if that's not the love of God, it's going to be something many times sinful. But we need to have the love of Christ in us. And everyone needs it, inside and out. And then we want to exalt the love of Christ because it will draw others. In John chapter 13, in verses 34 and 35, Jesus, talking about a new commandment. The disciples probably thought there were enough commandments. We don't need any new ones. But he said, I'm just going to give you one new one here. And here's what he said, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples by your love for each other. Jesus says that's the key. That's the thing that's going to allow people to see that you belong to me. Unfortunately, many times in the church, that's not what we exalt. When we want people to know that we're belong to Christ, we point to the fact that we sing without a piano. That's not what Jesus said was going to be the sign to people. Or we say, well, yeah, we baptized by immersion for the remission of sins. That's not what Jesus said was going to be the sign to people that was going to draw their attention to us. And any doctrinal thing, any theological position, anything as we saw with 1 Corinthians 13, we've got all those things right, but we don't have love. People are going to notice the lack of that love first. And they're going to say, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be a part. I don't care if they do have it right. I don't want to be like them. Even if they've got all the answers. I think it was Larry West, I think is his name, runs a ministry in Louisiana. Years and years ago, I think it's called the We Care Ministry. And in that ministry, his saying, his slogan is, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. Or people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's the idea. And that's something that we need to think about. Our care and concern for others. Our love for one another. That's what Jesus said. This is how people will know that we belong to Him. And so we need to be exalting that love. We need to be showing that love, just like He loved us, that we love each other. That's one of the things that I hear when people talk about why they chose to go to one church or another. So many times, everybody just, they loved me so much there. They were so friendly to me. They welcomed me right in. And I could see that they cared about each other and they really cared. Unfortunately, sometimes people go to churches that aren't even teaching the truth on many biblical subjects, but they see it, those people care about each other. And so they'll go to church there instead of going to a church where the truth is being taught, because the truth of love isn't being practiced. Again, it doesn't matter how much truth we teach if we don't practice what we preach and what we teach. But then we also want to notice that we should exalt Jesus' love because it is our standard and our model that we should be following. In John chapter 15 and verse 12, Jesus again says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." You know, there are some things that the Bible only ever says one time. Because once is enough. You don't want to hear it again. You don't need to hear it again. But there are some things that God repeats. Some things that Jesus repeated. Sometimes the repetition is, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, or even in John. They all are recounting Christ's life, and so each one tells the same story, but, you know, and so you see some similarities there. But in this case, this is still in the Gospel of John. But twice in this passage, in chapter 13, and then again here in chapter 15, Jesus says, "This is my commandment to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." I'm going to give you a little secret. John's going to tell us that again in one of his letters. John thought this was a pretty important thing that Jesus had said, because he not only records the two times here, but then later when he's writing to Christians, he's going to repeat it for himself and say, hey, this is what was commanded to us to do. John 13, just before the feast of the Passover was coming up, Jesus knew the hour had come. He was going to be departing out of this world to the Father. It says, "Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end." Loved them all the way to the end. And we see Christ giving us the example for husbands in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Oh, for more husbands that would love their wives that way. If we would love our wives the way Jesus loves the church, I bet our wives would be better wives, because they would love being loved like that. But He gives us the example in our relationships of how to live and how to love all the way to the end, even sacrificially giving ourselves up for those that we love. But then we also need to exalt Christ's love, because it can unite us and help us to grow. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, we're kind of jumping in the middle of a sentence here, but it says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. This is part of Paul's prayer. He started about three verses earlier. But part of his prayer is that we can know the unknowable. That we can know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. I don't know how you can know something that goes beyond knowledge. But that was Paul's prayer. And he prayed it believing that God would answer that prayer. And I think he would still pray that prayer for us today, just as he did for the Christians in that day and age. That we could know with all the saints to comprehend, to understand the breadth. How wide is the love of Christ? I've heard some say, he stretched out his arms this wide. He said, I love you this much. How wide is that love of Christ? How long? Well, we read in John 13, all the way to the end. From the beginning to the end. From before the foundation of the world, he had already offered to sacrifice himself. He was the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. That's a long time to love somebody and not get tired of them and not give up on them. That's a long love. And the height, how high is the love of Christ? Well, you know, Superman may be able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, but he can't jump over the love of Christ. There is no limit to the height of Christ's love for us. And the depth. How deep does Christ's love for us go? Has there ever been anybody in your life that you loved, but who, because of a betrayal, your love for them was shaken, maybe even lost? Maybe they betrayed you in such a way, they hurt you so deeply that you just didn't love them anymore, or at least you didn't love them like you used to. Has that ever happened to anyone? Christ's love for us is rooted so deeply that in spite of all of the things that we've done to Him, He still loves us. And He still loves us just as much as He ever did. Now, can we comprehend the height and the depth and the width and the length of Christ's love? To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And then He says, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Can we even contain the fullness of God? If he poured it out into us, would we be able to contain it? Well, of course not. It'd overflow, wouldn't it? But we'd be filled. There's enough that He could fill all of us and still have plenty left over to fill up everybody else too. But oh, for us to have this prayer prayed and answered on our behalf. That we can know the love of Christ. What unity there would be. And how much it would help us to grow. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as it is right, because your faith is growing abundantly. And the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Could Paul say that to you? Could he say that to me? Is my love for every one of you increasing? Is your love for everyone else increasing? Thessalonian church had it going on in the area of love, didn't they? Their love for everyone was increasing. And let me tell you, when we are united like that, and when we are growing in our love for each other like that, the church will grow. It won't be because of tricks or some sort of fancy finagling that we do to get it to grow or to get people in the door. But when we start loving like Christ loved and showing that love and people start seeing that love, they're going to want to be a part of that. They're going to want to know, what have you got that other people don't have? They're going to recognize that difference. So it will unite us. It will help us to grow. And then that will help the church to grow. And then, of course, the final reason we need to exalt it is, quite simply, He commanded us to do it. He commanded us to imitate His love. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. I said we'd get back to John. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave commandment. So we need to believe in Christ and love one another just as Christ had commanded. Just like He did back in John 13 and John 15. Love one another as I've loved you. There's that command. And John just says, that's still the command. John's writing this perhaps some 50 to 60 years or so after Christ left this world. But he still says, that's still our command. That's still what we're supposed to do. So certainly, we need to exalt a lot of things about Jesus. He's our Lord and Savior. He's our King. He's reigning over the church. He's the head of the church. We need to be teaching His doctrine. We need to be talking about the sacrifice He made for us. We need to be talking about His deity as the Son of God, God in the flesh. We need to be doing all of those things. But love is the one that binds it all together, isn't it? Because we could exalt those other things about Jesus and we could do it in a mean and spiteful and hateful way. And we could be still telling people the truth, but doing it without love. But instead, the love of Christ compels us, Paul says in one place. It constrains us. It drives us. It's the engine that keeps us running, that keeps us going. That love that we have received from Christ and that Christ expects us then to express to one another. If you're here tonight and you haven't allowed the love of Christ into your life, you have no idea what you're missing out on. But you're missing out on so much. If you're here and you've allowed some of Christ's love into your life, or maybe you wanted to accept the love from Him, but maybe you haven't turned that around and expressed that love to other people, you may need to make the determination tonight that you're not going to be like the Dead Sea, taking in, and never letting anything out. There's a song in the old songbook, that Songs of the Church book. There was one called There is a Sea. I don't know if it's in here or not, but it's that same idea. It talks about the Sea of Galilee and how the Jordan River runs into it and runs out of it, and it's lush and it's green, but then it flows onto the Dead Sea, and the water runs in, but none comes out, and it's just a dead salt sea and nothing grows. There are no fish. There's no greenery on the side of the water. It's just dead. The Dead Sea. We don't want to be like the Dead Sea. But that's what happens if we accept the love and accept the love and receive the love, but never give any back out. We've got to give that love just as much as we receive it for it to do us any good. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation, either to receive His love or to determine in your life that you're going to give that love, please do so as we stand and sing.